Let's pray together as we come to consider what God is saying to us at this time. Father, we just thank you that you're the God who speaks. You love to speak. Thank you that even this morning we've heard your voice as we've worshipped, as people have shared and testified on the live feed. Lord, we're hearing what you're saying. We're surrounded by your words all the time. Your words are before us in the Bible, Lord. We just want to hear what you're saying. So, Father, I pray that as we come to this moment where I speak for a few moments and we consider what you might be saying to us as a church and some passages from the Bible, give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's right, and we pray that my pen does not run dry. 12th of February, that was Friday. And it was a special day. Now, James signed in earlier. So, James, I saw that you posted something on Facebook this week about what was special about Friday. So there's going to be a bit of a delay, but if James is still watching, he might be distracted with the children. But could you write down, could you type in there, or somebody else may know, what was special about Friday? Tony? It was what? No, far more exciting than that. Far more special than that. Tony says it was the last day of the working week. James is going to put it up. If not, I'll have to, because I can't remember the words that it is, but it was something about the way, the date on Friday. Has he got it? So that's it. Sharon said it was, he's not got it, 1202. Yeah. So you got to put, so it was the same back to front. And if you flip it round, upside down, it's also the same. So palindromic. And then I don't know what that one would be. So if you read it back to front and upside down. Okay, that was a special. But that's not why it was special to me. 12th of February is one of those days that I remember. I really do remember it. And I remember it because on 12th of February 2012, God spoke really powerfully into my life, and I believe he spoke into our life as a church. I remember the day I was out walking with the dog in the afternoon. We'd been together in the morning as a church. In the afternoon, I was out with the dog, and we had an evening event that I was involved in, a number of us went to. And I was walking along, and I felt the Lord say, "This is a significant day. This is an important day." And so, like, okay, so we went into the evening, and it was a good evening. It was one of the events that we were involved in up at Richard Lander. We partnered with other churches, and we had a guy come, and he just started to speak. And I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. He started to speak, and as he started to speak, I didn't know him at all, and I just met him for the very first time just prior to the service. And he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, "I've got a word for you, Matt, and for your church." And he gave us this word. Now, bearing in mind, I'd felt the Lord say in the afternoon, "This is an important day." He gave us this word, and we've shared it many times. It's the word about locks. About locks. You know, the seven locks. I mean, the picture, if you look on the website, the whole prophecy, the prophetic word is there, and it's a picture of the locks, I think, the one that devises, where you've got a whole number of locks. And this is what he said. He said, "You're basically going up slowly." He said, he believed that we as a church, and me, and for us as a church, he said, so we're going up. He felt we've gone through two, and there were more to come. He said, I'm not going to read all of it, but he said, "I believe that there will be outpourings in your own life. You're going to feel the level going up, but in the church as well." He says, "The church is here not just for itself. It's here as a blessing for Truro, Cornwall, and beyond." He says this, "I feel you need to be really expectant as you preach, as you pray, as you come. I feel God's encouragement to you is that this is not what it's going to be like. The water level will keep rising, and you are going to keep, you're going to see people taken up, not because of your own ingenuity or ability, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take you into new realms of power and release, some abroad to travel to other nations." He says, "You are about a great work. And God says to be open to the prompting of my Spirit." And he said this, "Do not feel like you have arrived. but get ready for greater outpouring Sunday by Sunday. And he talked about, he felt that there were five more locks for us to go up. Now, that was 2012, so 9 years ago. And it came off the back of another word. Do you remember the word about setting sail that we had just 2 years before that? And I'm not going to go into the whole background of that, but I feel that that could only be God. It could only be God. And the word there was, get ready. I'm going to pour out my spirit. It's going to be significant. So I was reminded of those words on Friday morning. I was thinking about them. And it was as Ange and I were just praying in the morning, I got this sense that God's saying, I'm going to speak to you today. I'm going to speak to you today. And I don't get this sense often, but I got it. On Friday morning, I'm going to speak to you today. And it was amazing. It was like from the minute I sort of went through the day, God started to speak. And he spoke repeatedly, and he spoke the same word over and over. And the word is about the promise that he has placed on our church and upon on my life and our lives as a church. The promise. And we're to hold on to it. And we're to not give up on this promise. And I think it's really interesting that this word is coming so clearly the week when we as a church are talking about what it means to be empowered by the Spirit. I think God is bringing these two things together. And he's saying, I want you to remember the promise, the promise that I gave you all those years ago. Because it's, don't give up on it. That's what he was saying. He says, be prepared for it. And it's something about waiting and waiting well for what God is going to do in our midst. So the whole day was full of that. And so today, I'm not talking about what I thought I was going to talk about, but I want to bring together some of the thoughts and themes and threads that came out over the course of that day. And you know what happens sometimes when you start to hear God, and then suddenly the doubts come in. And it's like, am I hearing right here? Am I hearing right? Lord, are you really saying this? And then on Saturday morning, I picked up our reading plan and I started to read from Luke 3. And remember, what the Lord was talking to me about was waiting and being ready and you know, not letting go of the promise. And the first sentence I read on Saturday morning was this: the people were waiting expectantly. The people were waiting expectantly. So that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the promise that God has placed upon our lives. And I want to talk about what it means to hold that promise, to wait expectantly for that promise to be fulfilled. I'm going to my trusty flip chart. I've not brought my flip chart out for ages. Nathan, have we come over to this camera? Hopefully you can all read it. I know sometimes I use my flip chart and then I write really small. Okay, this is the one of the phrases I read on Friday. Every promise of God has a process and attracts a problem. Every promise of God attracts a process. Has a process and attracts a problem. Graham, can we put that first slide up? I'm sorry, I forgot to put that up earlier. I don't think I sent it to you. Sorry, I did a slide and I didn't send it to Graham. No worries, it's all right. Okay, I don't know if you can remember the picture. I put it up several times over the year, and it's the guy kind of tunneling through the earth, and he stopped, and there's a gap, and on the other side of the gap, there is all these diamonds. And he's basically stopped tunneling, and he's turned round. He's given up. But he's given up just a few meters away from the treasure. And that's a picture that I put up so many times over the years to actually remind us that we've got to press in and we've got to keep going. And I want to kind of draw that picture if I can. So it's like this: is that there's the tunnel and there's the guy. Everyone can see this. My wonderful drawing. Okay, and there we've got the promise. Okay. So we've got the person tunneling, we've got the promise, but they're kind of stopped just before they can take hold of the promise. And I want to use this picture today to kind of unpack kind of where I feel that we're at and what I feel the Lord is saying at this time. So let's go for it. Every promise of God has a process and attracts a problem. Okay? Every promise of God has a process and attracts a problem. So let's think about the promise of God. Did you know that there are 32,000 promises in the Bible? I spent all day yesterday going... No, I didn't. there are 32,000 promises. I read, I don't know if it's true or not. A reputable source said that there are 32,000. And then there's this one little phrase. I don't know where it is. I can't remember. Maybe someone could look it up. And all those promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. They are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So there are the generic general promises of the Bible that are for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. You know, they talk about and promises around our inheritance. Yeah, what God's going to pour into our lives, who we are and what he's going to do and his provision and his goodness to us. So these just promises overflow out of who he is. And it says they're all yes and amen in Jesus Christ. So they're the general, generic promises of God that we read in his word. But then there are these specific promises. So I believe that God has promised our church that he is going to pour out his spirit and that we should be expectant of that. That where we are today is going to be not the same as where we're going. There will be more of him to experience and know, and we should expect him to be growing and increasing in terms of his influence and impact on our lives. And I believe he said that we can expect sort of a significant outpouring of his Holy Spirit in our midst. That's what I believe he said in those prophetic words a few years ago. And I believe we've been taking hold of that little bit by little bit, gradually by gradually. But there's more. There's more. And I confess there have been times when I've looked and I said, Lord, I haven't seen what I anticipated, what I thought I was going to see when I heard those words spoken over our life as a church. And that's where this kind of waiting comes in, and waiting well. So there's the promises of God. So every promise of God has a process. So every promise of God has a process. So how can we sort of dig into this? How can we keep going and not give up? How do we position ourselves to take hold of the promise that God has for us, whether they be generic general promises for every Christian or whether what he has specifically for us as a church? I want to take you back to what I spoke about on Wednesday at the Word on Wednesday. It's online. You can see it on the YouTube channel, on the City Life YouTube channel. Because where I went on Wednesday is not where I thought I would go, but what I believe God has revealed and put before us is the process that we need to instill in our lives so that we can take hold of all that he has for us, these promises that he's spoken over our lives. And there were three that I mentioned. I'd encourage you to listen to it, not because I believe it's a great talk, but what I believe is that there are three really invaluable principles that will allow us and help us to truly press in to all that God has for us, to keep digging towards the promise. And it's the process that he's given us. The first one is this. We have to learn how to die to self. We have to learn how to die to self. We have to learn how to overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, those things that will just so easily get in the way. But the way we do that is we just have to die to self. We have to get low, get humble before him. We have to learn how to do that. So the first is about dying to self. The second is about yielding to God. It's about yielding to him. We talked about that. We put the sign up, the give way sign. And as we yield to Christ, as we put him in the driving seat, he takes the lead. So we die to self and we yield to God. And then we have to come like a child. We have to come like a child. I read this quote and I wanted to read it again this morning. This is what Tom Wright says about the child that Jesus put before his disciples in Matthew 18. He says we need to come trusting and with clear eyes, ready to listen, to be loved and to love, to learn and to grow. This is what true greatness is like, he says. Go and learn about it. You know, that moment where Jesus puts the child before his disciples, they're arguing about who's the greatest in the kingdom. He just puts a child there. And he says, this is what it's about. Trusting with clear eyes, ready to listen, to be loved and to love, to learn and to grow. This is what true greatness is like. So we need to do these three things. This is about cultivating the soil of our lives so that we can receive all that God has for us. Dying to self, not letting anything get in the way. Putting Christ first, putting him in the driving seat, not in the passenger seat, and let us call over the odd instruction from time to time. And actually coming like a child, clear eyes, loved and loving, trusting, faith-filled. So that's the process. So we've got the promise and the process. But then it says here, and it attracts a problem. So this is what I wanted to think about this morning. This is what sort of developed over the course of Friday and Saturday, is that what's the barrier? What are the things that can stop us pushing forward and taking hold of the promises that God has for us? You know, that promise that God has for us is the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And the reason that there are problems is because the enemy doesn't want us to get there. The enemy does not want us to take hold of the promises that we have for God. Because when we do, we start really walking in the fullness of who we are in him. We will start to experience and know the kingdom of God in our lives. And it will be a disastrous thing for the enemy, because it will involve a wrecking of that kingdom of darkness. So that's why there's a battle. That's why there's always going to be a problem. There's always going to be something holding you back, stopping you, taking hold of all that God has for you. I've got four that I want to mention today. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. I was going to try and write it all on one screen, but it's not going to be big enough. Okay, the first problem that we need to be aware of. I hope I spell this right. Discourage. Is that right? Oh. Discouragement. Have I spelled that right? Graham's saying, I don't know. No doubt somebody will tell me if I've spelt it wrong. Discouragement. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But a promise fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But a promise fulfilled is like the tree of life. I hope I've remembered that right. It's in the Proverbs. Look it up. Beautiful, beautiful proverb. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. You know, we need to keep pressing in. Keep remembering. And when discouragement starts to creep in and we start thinking, oh, did God really say? Is he really going to do this? If we start thinking, why haven't we? You know, we've got to come back to the promise that God put before us, and by his Spirit, just keep pressing in, guarding our hearts against that discouragement that can so easily come. So that's the first one. The first one is discouragement. The second one is disbelief. Or unbelief. You know, unbelief is a powerful thing. Remember that time in Jesus' life when he's come out of the wilderness in Luke 4. He's read from Isaiah 60 in the synagogue. And he sits down and it says, people were amazed. And then suddenly somebody just says, hang on a minute. Isn't that Joseph's son? And the whole atmosphere and feel of that passage changes because unbelief is brought into the room. And I've said this about this previous point, but you know, doubt. Did God really say? I think we need to be very mindful of disbelief, and unbelief. So discouragement, disbelief. What about this one? Being distracted. I kind of love, not love, that's the wrong word. I look forward to, and I just can't abide that moment in the year or every 2 years where I have to ring up to negotiate my new mobile phone contract. And you ring up, don't you? And it's like you go through the options, and then you get to this point where the music starts, yeah? And it's pretty grainy and horrible music, but then this will be broken by the voice of somebody coming saying, "You are a valued customer, and we want to, you know, all that sort of, you know, you're a valued customer and they want to listen to what you're saying, but actually we got loads of people who want to speak to us and you're way, way, way down in the queue." Okay? So you have that moment, you think, okay, I'm gearing up for this. I'm gearing up for the conversation. I want to get the best deal here. I'm rehearsing in my mind. And just remember, I got 3 accounts with you, EE. And if you don't give me a good deal, I'm going to go down to Tesco's or I'm going to go somewhere. So I'm rehearsing in my mind, but it's taking longer and longer and longer. So what I do then is I put my phone down and I'll go off and make a cup of tea or coffee. Come back. And then I'm back listening, I'm back ready. And then I'll go and do the washing up because this is taking forever. So then suddenly they'll come on, it'll be on speakerphone, I'll rush in there and I'm all flustered and I'm not ready. Does that happen to anyone else or is it just me? You know? So I go from waiting well, being prepared, to being distracted by everything else that's going on in the room because I just can't be bothered with the waiting. We need to learn how to wait well. I think waiting well is about getting everything we can possibly out of this day. You know, God calls us to live in the present, and we need to live in the present. But at the same time, there's this promise, isn't there? There's this promise of what he has for us in the future. And we want to be positioning ourselves. We need to be thinking about this process and preparing ourselves to take hold of the promise that he's spoken over our lives. So we don't want to get distracted. We don't want disbelief to come and just rob us of what, you know, lead, you know, sort of distract us. And we don't want to be discouraged. Or we want to handle that discouragement well. Here's the final one. We get desperate. Okay, we get desperate. But God said he was going to do this, this, and this. And I thought this was what it meant. So I'm going to try and make it happen. You know, you think about, I was reading 1 Samuel 13. And there's this moment where Saul is up against it. The Philistines, the army was huge. It says they got 2,000 chariots and all these people. And this is what, so you go back to chapter 10. And Samuel had said, 7 days I'll come, and in 7 days I will come, and then I will make a sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, so he got this instruction from Samuel, and Saul is like pressing on. His soldiers are going, and he ends up hiding away, and I think it's a place called Michmash. He's hiding away, and suddenly he thinks, you know, he gets desperate. And he thinks, I know what I'm going to do. Samuel's not coming. I will do the sacrifice myself. And that's what he does. He brings the sacrifice because he's desperate. And as soon as he's done the sacrifice, what happens is Samuel arrives. And this was really costly for Saul. Actually, it cost him his kingdom. You know, his motivation was all wrong. In that moment, he tried to make it happen himself. And we can't, we've got to avoid that point where we become desperate. Okay, we've got to keep focused and we've got to keep faithful in that moment. Faith is what is going to carry us through, even when it seems like what we have expected, the promise that we were given, doesn't seem to be working out as we had anticipated or as we expected. We've got to keep faithful. We've got to keep faithful in that moment. We've got to pray for that gift of faith and not try and kind of make it happen for ourselves. These are the things that can get in the way. Okay? So we've got the promise. We've got the process. You know, we want to die to self, live for Christ, him in the driving seat, and we want to come like children. But at the same time, we know there's going to be a problem. We're going to have to battle discouragement, disbelief, distractions, and becoming desperate and trying to do it all in our own strength. And in the midst of that, I just really want to say we've got to keep the process in mind. We've got to keep coming back to Christ. We've got to keep dying to self, not making it about ourselves. We've got to keep putting him in the driving seat. And we've got to keep coming it with faith, coming it like a child. Because what happens then is it just keeps us going. It prepares us for all that God has for us. I want to finish with four statements about this promise. And I'm not going to say too much about them, other than, you know, the realities is when God starts to do what we believe he's going to do, it's going to stretch us and it's going to challenge us. So I've got four things, and this came up in the last few days. There's a guy called Alan Scott shared these at the end of something I was listening to. And this is what he says: the promise will be more than you can manage. The promise will be more than you can manage. It will stretch us. And you know, if it doesn't stretch us, then there's a temptation for us to do it in our own strength. So the promise will be more than we can manage. The promise will lead you beyond yourself. You know, what God is promising for us is going to take us beyond our own ability and our own means. Is it going to step outside the current parameters of our life and faith? Are we willing to step into new things? Are we willing to step beyond where we are at? I think that's part of this, you know, sort of preparation. The promise will be greater than your current provision. You know, what we have now will not be enough for what God is going to do in the future. We're going to have to rely upon him. And the promise will be larger than what you have sown at this time. You know, what we have given ourselves to, the Lord will enlarge as we walk into it according to his promise over our lives. So at the moment, we've got to learn how to wait well. We've got to learn how to wait well. We've got to learn how to position and prepare ourselves for all that he has for us. We've got to learn to wait well. We've got to take hold of everything that he has for us for today. But we've got to, in our hearts, be kind of like preparing and longing and seeking and pursuing all that he has for us in the future. The quote that I couldn't find, I'm going to leave with you to finish. This is what faith says. Faith says, "I am not happy simply knowing it exists." I am not happy with that prophetic word that God spoke over our church and my life. I'm not happy with it just being on a piece of paper. I want it to be a reality. I want it to be something that we experience and we know. And I want us to be seeking that and taking hold of that as God releases it and fulfills the promise that he has spoken over our lives. Let's pray together now.